Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 473, the 473rd edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are welcoming you to the Motherlode. That's just what we're calling this show because it's been a little while since we did an episode of any kind of importance. Actually, it's been a little while since we did anything of any kind of importance around here, but I still wanted to make sure that we were on the right track. Last week, just could not do it, had all kinds of crazy migraines and all other kinds of mean, nasty, ugly, horrible things all week, and it just wasn't sitting right. I was swamped with so much else that I didn't want to give you a less than stellar episode, so we delayed it till this week, and you know, there's no real rush to get these things out. I like to get them out on time and under budget and all that, but I don't have a budget, so that kind of simplifies things in that order. You are, of course, listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that one out. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and every single person in this fine network is located over at techpodcasts.com. All right, we are the high-octane world, as I said, of caffeine culture and technology news. What that really honestly means is that I am highly caffeinated, highly motivated, and I want to make sure that I can entertain you and hopefully give you a little bit of educational news and information along the way. But, you know, we try not to stress the educational too much because, you know, I just want you to get educated without even realizing it. We have a lot of really fun stuff to do. We're switching up how we're doing the caffeination. In case you've missed what's going on over at the website, there's a little bit of a change heading on over there. The winds have changed. Mary Poppins is coming in from a different direction on this one. What we're doing is we're posting a lot more content throughout the week. I have a lot of auto-posting things set up. I do a lot of my research at night now, and it's in dribs and drabs. That way I don't have to dedicate like 3 or 4 hours on a Wednesday or on a Tuesday night to make sure that I have enough content to actually talk about. So by splitting up the resources with that, we also brought somebody else on board to help us out with that. Now he's not here to do the recording with me tonight. We actually kind of talked it over after the last show, and we hashed out a lot of what we're going to be doing here at around the caffeination, and we're referring it to I'm referring to the website as The Caffeination, as opposed to just The Caffeination Podcast from pretty much now on, because there's so much other stuff that I want to do with the site. I want to do videos. I want to get back into doing live streams. I want to make sure that the blog is a very strong component to what you got going on over there. And I realize that there's a lot of people who would just read the show notes, not listen to the show, and click through all the links on there. And That was perfectly well and good, and it was all kinds of wonderful, and they'll never hear me say it anyway, but I realized we were missing a lot of the content, and we were missing a lot of the feedback on what people would do. And, you know, I had somebody say, well, you know, I commented on this story, and I realized they had commented on something on somebody else's site. And yeah, like I said before, I don't care where you put your comments in, and I don't care who gets the page views and whatever not, but I like to give my brand of insight into what's exactly going on, because there's a lot of things that I used to link to, and I would say, you know what, I wanted to show you this because I think it's a good example of X, Y, or Z, but I don't necessarily agree with it. And I realized that by, you know, just blindly clicking on these links, people thought that, you know, that was my approval of whatever was going on there, and that's not entirely the case. So being that the case that it is, and I know I'm stumbling all over everything, I should have probably wrote all this out. What we're doing is about 2 to 3 times a day, there's actually going to be a new article scheduled to come out on the Caffeination. This does not mean that I'm sitting there and work typing this stuff out over lunch like I had been a couple times before. This means that usually on the night before or something like that, I'll get a story together and throw it out there. This also means that my wonderful brother-in-law, Steve, is working on something he's calling the Game Room. That's a section on the Caffeination just dedicated to video games and the culture surrounding them. And all of his stuff's going to be tagged under Game Room, so in case you're looking for that, you can head on over there and just click that. Caffeination.com/game room will get you there. It's all one word. if that's all you're interested in. But there's also a lot of stuff coming from Tumblr. There's a whole bunch of different stuff, so we're trying to update content. Now, what the podcast is actually going to be from pretty much here on out is it's going to be a review of the different stories that we've talked about throughout the week, as well as a couple new links and stories that I find in the days leading up to it. I realized before that I would hold off on writing articles about some things. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be great. I can't wait to talk about it on the show. And I was really kind of missing a lot of interaction. I was really missing a lot of ears and eyeballs because not everybody listens and not everybody reads. So this way I'm trying to get the most amount of attention on the different interesting topics that I find. Hopefully it's not too much a show drivel. You just want to hear the show, so we're going to dive right on in. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail, please feel free to send an email to caffeination@gmail.com. Everything else, all the other ways in which you can comment and interact are all listed over at the website. We have a phone number you can call in. You can dial into at us at Twitter, twitter.com/caffeination. We have a Facebook fan page. You can get RSS, iTunes, Zune, and we have a wonderful little link in garish, horrible colors up on the front of the main site now. If you head on over to caffeination.com, you'll see two ugly buttons on the right-hand side. The one is listen to the podcast. You click on that, and no matter what is on the front page of the site, even if I have the most inane kind of craziness for the entire page, you will be taken to a listing of just the podcasts. And if you click the button below it, it is the podcast-only RSS feed. So you can drop that into iTunes, Zune, or wherever. All the subscription links still work under that in the big block of stuff, but we've endeavored to try and clean up the two different streams. Now, this is something I should have done long ago, but I just wanted to kind of make sure that I was doing everybody right. So if I missed you, if there's something that I messed up, please feel free to call me or email me, and we're trying to sort everything out. Also, if there's something you'd like to get involved with in the Caffeination, please feel free to email me. We're looking to add on more writers, add in more content, and get more good stuff coming up on here. All right, moving right along to the first beginning section of the GeekCruft section. Now, I'm gonna let you know when things are not directly linked to the Caffeination. So I have roughly 90% of the articles on this show all relate back to other posts that have already happened on the website. So that's really good, because hopefully, you know, you can go over there, you can see some of the more discussion, and you can comment and feedback on the individual stories, which I think is going to be a little bit easier. But I'm going to stop talking about it and start doing it. How you feel about them apples? All right, there's a wonderful new little invention called RoboEarth. I originally found this over at device.com. RoboEarth is basically like an internet, a worldwide web, if you will, just for robots. Now, there's a whole bunch of scientists who thought that this would be really good. You know, robots could share different files, could talk about how they can circumvent the three laws, and it's probably going to eventually come on with Skynet. I don't even know if the Matrix or the Skynet or whatever else you want to talk about. The idea that there would be a specific and dedicated network just for robots just kind of sounds weird. It does sound very logical that this would make sense. You know, it's you don't have to worry about natural language querying. You don't have to worry about anything. You can just teach the robots in a very specific manner in which they're supposed to access the data. So I thought it was interesting and wanted to share it with a group, get a little bit of feedback, what other people thought about that. Now, over at Siloft.com, what they do is they do little small short runs of toys. Now, I'm not sure if they're just concept pieces or whatever else, but these are actual real models of toys, and I guess they would be like the initial run of a set of toys or something like that. It's also a lot of storytelling that goes behind these things. They look very similar to like G.I. Joes from when I was a kid, so they're kind of interesting, but what the artists over there did was actually reimagined Star Wars as a Western. Now, it's not just, okay, this is Star Wars and we're turning it into a Western, and, you know, you have robots and other steampunk accessories or stuff like that. They do have a version of Star Wars over there that's listed as steampunk. They also have a samurai version, which is unbelievably awesome. They have a version from 1942 that looks like everybody's straight out of World War II. But my absolute favorite by far is the Western. What they did was they actually humanized the droids. So instead of R2-D2, you have a small, short, stout blacksmith who has the same colors. Instead of C-3PO, you actually have Clarence Pepero, the worried bartender. And instead, my favorite character out of everybody is, instead of Chewbacca, there's no aliens, there's nothing. I mean, this is just, you know, straight up from the Wild West. What can we do to take that story and paste it in somewhere a little bit more familiar? Darth Vader became Sheriff Akan Death Vardis, and Chewbacca is actually Chewing Bear, a Native American massive gentleman with a little bear head on and a pelt for a garment of sorts. I love this. I think this is fantastic. It really, really kind of speaks to a lot of different parts of the Star Wars mythos and how they really did come from other areas. Everything is a remix. We've talked about this a couple different times before. But, you know, it says everything in the original three films was actually done from the perspective of two common workers, which apparently is an idea that Lucas borrowed direct from Kurosawa and his films The Seven Samurai and a whole bunch of other stuff. So the toy makers actually kept that in line and translated the workers into the Wild West equivalent. So Rusty's the town blacksmith, and the bartender is Clarence Pepero. So C-3PO and C-3PO and R2-D2. I think it's a beautiful rendition. I would actually like to see this turned into a movie. I know it has next to no chance of actually happening, but that would be really cool. I would like to see this more than I would like to see another George Lucas abomination. All right, sticking with the Star Wars vein, there's a wonderful little infographic that I posted up there, and this one's actually listed directly over at nerdapproved.com, but it's a wonderful AT-AT diagram. Now, it's a way to take apart the AT-AT as a whole and break it down to its individual parts. Now, I love the term infographic, but I think it's a little bit misused on this. This is a poster. This is a technical poster. This is the kind of poster that you'd expect to see if somebody was trying to explain like an engineering certification or something like that. An infographic has next to no text on it. Has, you know, I would say has kind of simplified color schemes. This actually looks like a technical breakdown poster more than anything. I love it. I think it's fantastic. It is a beautiful rendition, but it's missing something that I think good infographics actually have. Now, staying in the laser realm, there's actually a new video game coming out on the Xbox Live Developers Network, and it was originally from a wonderful little conference called Global Game, and it's just really interesting. You can use your Rock Band microphones or your Xbox 360 headsets, and it's called Pew Pew Pew. The idea behind it is it's a side-scrolling version of Geometry Wars. So basically, the idea is to kill the shapes that are coming at you. Your little space dude needs two people to control him. The one person makes whooshing noises with a jetpack. The more whooshing noises they make, the higher up he goes, and he's floating in a cave in a side-scrolling adventure. So you keep making the whooshing noises, it's going to bottom out or it's going to hit the top, and then that's it. So there's obstacles that are coming around. You have to work together. The person and it's actually working. And then the person who's shooting the laser has to go pew pew pew. And the more the times they go pew, the more lasers actually shoot. So I think it's a really cool little interesting thing. You have to see the video, because this looks like one of those things where that's probably going to be a little bit less than cool, but this, it really looks engaging, and it's actually a way where this is a true co-op mission. This isn't two guys playing Halo or two guys playing Black Ops or something like that, and one can run ahead and get killed and the other one has to complete the rest of the mission. This is two guys working, or two players rather, working in concert to solve one thing. I thought it was rather awesome. All right, moving right along. Next little thing is from over at the Game Room. Zombies are taking a vacation. There's a beautiful trailer for a new zombie game out there called Dead Island. Now, it's listed as for mature audiences only. I would also kind of put in a little caveat that if you are a parent, particularly a sensitive parent when it comes to seeing injuries to children and things like that, this takes the zombie genre and brings it to its full extent, as if you were to expect a zombie attack on a vacation resort. So there is a little child violence. There is a child zombie, and some people find that more disturbing than regular zombies. I personally think zombies in general are rather disturbing, but they're disturbing in kind of an awesome way. So this is going to be rather cool, rather gruesome, as most zombies are. I wonder how they actually got to the island. Is this the traditional virus infects somebody, or are these actually zombies that have walked across the ocean floor? It's going to be interesting to see how it actually plays out. But zombies is as zombies does, so the Magnus Mortis Opus is, as always, your friend. It's the official Caffeination Zombie Guide. You can do a search and find it. All right, now speaking of official guides, I don't know how many of you remember back in science class. I mean, I know I personally didn't nod off, but I do know that there's a great number of kids that do nod off during science class. They don't really think that it's important. And somebody actually put a little image up on Tumblr that I just had to share with the group because I thought it was fantastic. Basically, they're saying that this should go before the first page of any science manual. You can ignore this book if you want. Go ahead. Coast through class. But one thing in life is certain. Someday, someone will clone a dinosaur. And that someone will be an expert in a million things that you think are boring right now. And if you don't study and work and think, one day you'll watch that person saddle up, put on a cowboy hat, and ride a T-Rex from a monitor. Until your boss asks you why you're wasting company time. And then they show you a beautiful little sketch of a T-Rex riding off into the sunset with somebody sitting on top. The only thing is there's nobody wearing a cowboy hat in the picture, so I don't know if it's directly speaking to it, but I love the sentiment behind it. It's, you know, and you can ignore any of the stuff the teachers are going to tell you throughout life. You can ignore any of the advice any of the older people give you. But there is going to come a time when you're going to really wish that you'd taken that little extra step and maybe learned a little something extra. So I think that putting that in front of it is kind of a little poignant reminder. It's going to go right over the head of kids, but you know, hey, the adults will think it's funny. Speaking of fun gadgets and things that are interesting, real spy gadgets, that is, from the CIA Museum. CIA apparently has figured out how to use Flickr. So, they're only up to 2005, so someday they might actually get a handle on this whole internet thing, unless, of course, they're listening, and then, save-o, the turnip is in the pudding. That should take care of that, and if there's no more further caffeinations, then you'll understand why I just had to get that out there. All right, obviously that was nothing, and I'm ridiculous, but still. These are a series of real-life spy gadgets that have all been declassified, and there's a wonderful little Flickr gallery up there. They have pictures of the original Enigma machine from World War II that was actually captured that allowed the Allies to decode German messages. There's a fantastic fish from the 1970s that's actually a robotic, remote-controlled fish that's able to conduct clandestine operations under the water. It has real fake excrement and real fake food, I guess, that it eats. I don't even know. It looks beautiful. And also, these are declassified items from the 1970s. They have a tiny little flying insect. It looks like a dragonfly. In the 1970s, let me remind you. This thing, and they have a name for it. We now have a name for the flying bugs. They're insectothopters. Insectothopters, which I think is really cool. It's very hard to say. There's a little th in the middle of the word, and it doesn't really work out too well. But I love the idea behind it. You can look at this now. Now imagine, what do they have now? Do they actually have clones? Do they have cloaks of invisibility? Are there black helicopters? We don't know. But, if I don't finish the episode, you'll know what happened. All right, moving right along. Another article from over at the Game Room. This one's about Mortal Kombat. The latest edition of Mortal Kombat is actually so violent and so gruesome that it's currently being banned in the land of Oz. Now, from Baraka to Sub-Zero, there will be contenders in this brutal battle. It rehashes the same old tired storyline that most Mortal Kombats have hit up. Basically, there's something with Outworld, and you have to eventually fight up and defeat the bosses of Gorgo and Shao Kahn. So, I love Mortal Kombat. I think it's fantastic, and it's actually coming out right around my birthday. So, I think it's a great game. I'm not sure what the censors in Australia are actually thinking. Is this that they think they can ban the game and nobody will get it? They think they're protecting children? I'm not entirely sure. It's Mortal Kombat. This game has made headlines for doing this kind of publicity stunt since its inception in 1992. They installed the blood code in the original version of Mortal Kombat so that it was a way to appease the censors. Say, hey, look, by default setting, the game is relatively mild. It's just a bunch of people hitting each other. There's no bodily fluids at all, except if you put in the very well-known blood code, all of a sudden everything became bathed in your juices, your own essence, as it would. So it's kind of interesting to see that they really haven't changed their game all that much. So I wonder where it's really going to end up. All right, now the next little thing we have for you here. I love pirates. I think they're fantastic. I also happen to love treehouses, and I love my children. That does not mean that I have an extra $27,000 lying around. This interesting little backyard treehouse is available from Hammacher and Schlemmer. This is 23 feet high. It's a weathered, beaten-up ship that has a crow's nest. It's actually built into the stump of a tree. Of course, installation's included, but you know what? I would actually hire Johnny Depp to install it because, hey, it's my dream. If I'm rich in my dream, then I'm going to hire the right people to do the job. And, you know, he can just wander around, do his Keith Richards impersonation, and everybody can be happy. This just looks fantastic. And I really got to tell you, if I had that kind of disposable income, if I had a mansion off somewhere and, you know, the caffeination was just even more of a hobby than it actually is, there would be this in the backyard. There would also be a ninja castle on the other side so that my children can invite other children in the neighborhood over, and there could be an eternal game of pirates versus ninja dodgeball right in the back for my own amusement. But that's not the case, and unfortunately I do not have $27,000, but I can play pirates with my son anyway because he has an awesome little people pirate ship. So alright, moving right along, the next little thing that we got for you here, this is directly for Norbert and Jimmy. This is a Lego man bag for you gentlemen. This is a custom one of a kind true to scale 10-to-1 item. Unfortunately, it's already been sold. No word on the price. However, if there's enough of an outpouring for this particular Etsy seller, I'm pretty sure that they might consider doing another one. The actual user is named Luxford Street or Luxford ST, and it's just beautiful. It's the perfect Lego blue. The Lego nubs are on the outside of the bag, and it's a squared off bag to begin with. They have a lot of other bags in there. Apparently, these things are all hand stitched together, so you can do your own guessing on the pricing. I unfortunately don't really have too much of a comparison at this point, but I gotta tell you, it's just really, really nifty. And if you are somebody who would enjoy this, then you should probably check it out. It's apparently it's 6.5 inches tall, 9.5 inches wide, and 4 inches deep. So for a man bag / purse / carry all, this is probably good enough to fit most of your Legos in. All right. Moving right along, this is a little bit old news, just a little bit, 2 weeks old, that is. Watson, the IBM supercomputer, wins out over the two Human Jeopardy contestants, and it's beautiful, but Jennings, in wonderful Simpson-esque fashion, answered the final question, says, "I, for one, welcome our new computer overlords." Watson won handily. There is a joke going around, we're saying the only way, in the next little article, he says, how could Watson have been defeated on Jeopardy? And the final Jeopardy thing was Linux basics, and this command formats a hard drive. And then Ken Jennings and Brad Reuter both wrote, what is FSCK minus F minus Y / dev HDB1, and then they both laughed as Watson formatted its hard drive. The funny part about this entire thing is, geeks being what geeks are, the first comment is FISC is a volume check, not a format. You would have had to use FDISC. And then they said, I have a couple questions with this. First of all, wrong command. It should have been FDISC. Second of all, why is the assumption the first partition of the slave drive is his IDE controller is absolutely essential and completely fault intolerant? Third, why is it actually an IDE drive? His drives are probably all SCSI RAID, so DevGX would probably be far more appropriate, or DevMXD would be more so. Lastly, inform the question correctly, all he would get would be no command. What found? And that's, of course, somebody getting their geek on. Basically, the proper format for a Linux for a Jeopardy answer is what is, and then the command. So they're saying if Watson actually put what is the command to format a hard drive, it wouldn't have actually done anything because it would have executed the Linux command as opposed to being regular things. So this is far geekier than anybody actually made it to be. I think it would actually be more beautiful if somebody else could have been what is, and the final question was actually something to make it drop all of its database tables. I think that would be, you know, what would this command do? And then they give you the the command to drop all the database tables, or actually then put the command up there to format a hard drive and see if it would actually accept the input then. So I would think that would be a little bit more of an on-point thing. But, you know, you get the joke. Humor being what it is, you know, you can't please everybody, and especially you can't please all the geeks. Thought it was humorous. You understand where they were going. All right, moving right along. That about wraps it up for the GeekCruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. If there's any little bit of awesome GeekCruftedness that you think that we should be talking about, any little bit of a geek culture or anything else, you please feel free to send it over to caffeination@gmail.com. You can direct who you'd like to send it to. If it's a game room story or something like that, direct it to Steve. If it's pretty much anything else, you can direct it to me. We have a lot of food and caffeinated bits and not a lot of time to talk about them, so I'm going to strap on my quick talking pants and see how this works out. All right, first up, Caffeination Reviews, Weaver's Coffee's Astral Blend. I was lucky enough to actually get a sample of Weaver's Coffee's Astral Blend actually sent to me. Now, there's a couple different special things about this coffee. The first thing being, it's actually a coffee with a little bit of a conscience to it. There is a percentage of every purchase of the bag actually going to fight breast cancer, which is fantastic. So they're marketing it. They marketed it right before Valentine's Day. They're marketing it for Easter and Mother's Day. So it's pretty much a limited run of this. It's a specific blend. It's fair trade certified. It's organic, and it has a conscience. So 5% of all their sales will go directly to breast cancer research. The way that they write it out in their marketing copy is, by purchasing this product, you are supporting breast cancer research by funding local hospitals and community organizations that provide breast health education, breast cancer screening, and treatment. This special coffee also supports a better life for farming families through fair prices, community development, and environmental stewardship. That is a fantastic statement to have on coffee, but it would all be null and void if the coffee didn't actually taste good. Now, first thing I have to make mention of is when I opened up the coffee, I was surprised at exactly how dark this was roasted. This was dark. The beans were oily, and I was honestly not expecting a whole lot out of it. I was blown away and very, very, very pleasantly surprised. Quite simply, it is a beautiful dark roasted coffee that is done in a truly artisan way. So if you have a chance, I highly suggest you head on over there and check it out. Or you can head on over and read the entirety of the review, because I think it's actually worth going into all the different things. Since it's dark roasted, it doesn't have a lot of the origin characteristics from wherever they got the beans. And also, since it's a blend, it's really hard to actually pick out distinctive, you know, fruity flavors or anything like that, or, you know, pick up the terroir and the different beans. However, it is possible to get a little bit of an earthy overtones and stuff to it, so you can kind of figure out where it is. It has a really wonderful mouthfeel. There's no bitter taste. It has just a little bit of like a dark chocolate kind of bitterness to it without actually having the chocolate notes. So it's really a nice balanced cup. There's no nasty aftertaste or anything like that. It's truly, truly wonderful. So for $14.95 for an honest-to-goodness pound, you too can help out a good cause. So, all right, moving right along. The next little thing we got up for you here from over at LaughingSquid.com, Battleship Drinking Game. Somebody actually put it out there. There is no aircraft carrier and there is no battleship itself. These are battle shots, for lack of a better term. What appears to be a 5x5 square. They have three one-shot vehicles. There's one two-shot vehicle and there's one three-shot vehicle. They're all set into tiny little shot glasses sitting on little placards. I hope the shot glasses are not actually affixed to the placards, because that could prove to be quite messy. So, you know, if you're trying to take one of the two shots of the cruiser or something like that, you'd have to take all three. Now, they're saying that you're supposed to take a drink of water anytime that you miss a shot, which I think is actually kind of an interesting twist on the whole thing. It'll hopefully keep you a little bit sober for a little bit longer. I actually have shot checkers, and the best part about shot checkers is that everywhere in the instructions on even how to play checkers, they tell you that you're supposed to use non-alcoholic beverages. But they're giving you shot glasses. So what do you think people are going to use it for? All right, next little item we got for you here is Come to the Dark Side. We have cookies with a Death Star cookie jar. I love rhyming, But it's interesting that I really would not pay $50 for a cookie jar, no matter how much it resembles the Death Star, and it really, really honestly does. The dark side may have cookies, but they will not have my money. The next little thing we got for you, here's a playable Angry Bird cake made for a six-year-old. And playable by, these are like bricks of fudge that are stacked up. There's tiny little fondant rolled up pigs, and there's tiny little fondant rolled up birds, and there's actually a working slingshot that sits at the end of it. This is a one-of-a-kind kind of build, where you're looking at it and saying, man, we've seen the cake topper. Steve and I talked about it last week, or last show, but we've never seen anything quite like this, so my hat's off to the family that actually pulled this off. This is fantastic on a whole new level. All right, next little thing. There's a new trend sweeping the nation. That's Skittles art. Yes, you heard it here correctly, but actually a series of 8-bit pixel images done through the use of Skittles. So, for instance, there's Tanuki Suit Mario. Now, we're not talking from Super Mario Bros. 3. Now, we're not talking the statue format because there is no gray Skittle by default. However, this has orange, yellow, and brown, and they create a very, very realistic version of Mario. There's also a couple other ones from SkittleArt.com where this is originally from, where they actually show you animations done in Skittles. So that is a lot of time. And since Skittles are probably one of my most favoritest candies, I probably would not have a very large pixel art diagram. And my son likes them too, so they really would probably end up with like one Skittle left, and that would probably vacate relatively soon. All right. Next little item we got for you here from over at randomgoodstuff.com, travel tea bag. Now this is, I guess you would call this the tea stick. On the one half of the stick, there's actually an infuser, a tea infuser. It's a stainless steel little mesh bag. And on the other end of the infuser is a cap to actually store excess loose tea. Now, I love drinking loose tea. Well, not loose tea itself. I love drinking and brewing tea with loose tea. However, the idea and the ability to actually do so on the go really doesn't translate well, shall we say. So with this tea stick, this really actually looks like a pretty fantastic idea. And it doesn't look to be overly expensive. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where if you're looking for a good industrial design thing to take with you, it's only £9.99, I guess you would say. So it's probably roughly $15 to $20. And it's not available until April 26th, unfortunately. But hopefully this thing will come over here to the States. It's over it's called the Tovolo Tigo, so there you go. All right, there's a wonderful little story that I repurposed from Ogizmo. I'm calling it Everything is Coming Up Chicken. If you live in Canada and you have Rogers Cable, apparently if you turn to channel 208, you're going to see the Rotisserie Network. That is all foul play all the time for the birds, almost done. Comes with 11 herbs and spices, and it really does have everything even sound. Basically, what you're seeing is two racks of rotisserie chicken constantly turning and baking. Obviously, it's an advertising stunt. Everybody, you know, there's more information over at Ogizmo. I just think it's fantastic, and I would probably watch it for a lot longer than I needed to. There was a station here in Philadelphia, a radio station, that when they were called the Sunny 104.5, and the first day that Sunny was in operation, the first day after they changed formats, they played Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles, right after another for the entire 24 hours. And I actually worked with a gentleman who listened to most of that because he liked the song and he couldn't get it out of his head. So there is somebody who's watching Rotisserie. Who knows? I think it's fantastic. It's a great way to drum up some business, and they look mighty tasty. All right, next little item we got for you here is the Hopworks Beer Bike. This is all beer, all party, and a little bit of fitness all on the same thing. Now imagine a tandem bicycle, like a long-style tandem bicycle, and you take out the annoying other person. And what you do is you actually craft a finely hewn bar up at the front, and then you put a little bit of a keg system so it actually has a full keg in the form of two half kegs sitting under the actual dash there, and then you can go there. Now, this is from Hopworks, so it's actually kind of an interesting cargo bike company that actually put this together, and this is just crazy. This would not work in Philadelphia because we have container laws, but I could definitely see something like this working in Vegas. That would just be awesome in a whole new level. All right, from Lynette over at purplestripe.com, she sent me a wonderful article from Geekosystem, 10 foods you can allegedly make in a coffee maker besides coffee. Now, the first one they have is, the picture is actually ramen noodles. And yes, I have done it. You can do it. It is perfectly easy to do. The funny thing is the first recipe that they actually have listed is how to make oatmeal. I have done it. Here's the funny thing. They don't attribute the fact that that recipe was originally from Alton Brown. So that's the only reason I know it is because I love Alton Brown's cooking. I remember reading that episode, that recipe, and I remember looking at that episode. They also have broccoli, rice, soft-boiled eggs, lemon pepper chicken, chicken pesto pasta, fish steaks, chive and butter sauce, and finally, chocolate fondue and beer. Yes, there's actually a way that you can create beer in your coffee pot. It's based on a... based on a paper from Southern Fried Science, and it's the definitive article, How to Brew Beer in a Coffee Maker Using Only Materials Commonly Found in a Modestly Sized Oceanic Research Vessel. So they said they recommend using cereal for grains, Vegemite for malt, and seaweed for hops. That is pretty intense. I would actually give that a shot. So there you go. Next time you're stuck in the office with nothing really left to do, then you can actually check out how to make things in your coffee machine. And if you get a chance, head on over to purplestripe.com. Lynette is one of the people I met through PodCamp Philly. Fantastic individual and one of the most intelligent people when it comes to social media and pretty much everything else. So you really need to head on over there and check her stuff out. She's doing some good stuff. All right, next little thing, we actually have an article sent in by Mass from over at ineedcoffee.com, and that is Steamworks Espresso Stout. It's from an episode called What Chris Drinks, and it's basically his tour through the area, mostly up in British Columbia, that about the different beers. Apparently, there's a place called Steamworks that actually has something called Espresso Stout, which is made with 1,000 shots of espresso. So what they did was, in order to create the brew, they actually had a local barista company or a local coffee company actually brew these 1,000 shots and set everything up to go. So it's just really, really intense. I love this. I think it's fantastic, and I just had to share it with the group. No word on the taste. It said very dark with a great coffee taste. So that's about all that I have information-wise. Hopefully you enjoy that. All right, and that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. We kind of ran down the last couple things. If there's stories that you'd like more information on, you can click on the link over in the show notes. Now, what we're coming up with, there's a couple new video game reviews that are coming up. Hopefully, we're going to have Steve back on the program in a little bit. And you can head on over and make sure you follow along to see with what we're doing. We're really trying to flesh out the experience of the Caffeination, really trying to make it more of an interesting place to be, more of a destination webpage. So thank you, everybody, for your comments and feedback. Please keep sending them in. Let me know what you think of the new way that we're doing things. I'm really kind of enthused to be able to write this many different articles, and there's a lot of stuff that we didn't talk about. So, peruse back through the archives, maybe add it into Google Reader, whatever else you got to do. But there's a lot of content, so use the podcast only feed for your podcatcher or iTunes or whatever. All right, thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.